A blessed good morning to you in the wonderful name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes to the Triumph of His Grace broadcast, sponsored by the Grace Bible Churches. We shall be giving you some more information about our churches towards the end of the program. However, we trust that our program will give you enlightenment concerning the truth of God's Word and encouragement to do His blessed will for your lives.
Good day, our dear listeners. This is Carl Natrum, pastor of the Grace Bible Church in Paddock Road, Dalkey, St. Michael, greeting you in the most wonderful name of our blessed Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who loved us and gave Himself for us, He died for our sins, that through His blood we can have forgiveness of sins, that we can become the children of God, and to know the assurance that when we die we will know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Our prayer is always that you would have this assurance. If you have this assurance in your life, we'd like to praise God with you and to encourage you to please serve Him for thankfulness, because He deserves it, but also He asks us to do it. If you're not saved, oh, that you would see yourself today as in need of that salvation. For the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. All of us need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that He would come into this world and die for your sin, my sin, all of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you can have that eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the book of James, and we're coming down to the closing of chapter 5. As we've seen some warnings and exhortations that James have given to the Christians. As we come to a verse which tells us how important this particular aspect is that James is speaking about, he starts it this way: but above all things. Now, he mentions about being patient, he talks about waiting upon the Lord, talks about grudge not one against the other, lest he be condemned. Talks about having the right understanding about riches and having faith in God. Be careful what you do and say. But in this he says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest he fall into condemnation. Now this is a very important subject. James tells us to him it is, but above all things. And the reason that James tells us how important this is and why he says above all things, to swear not, it talks about how we think of God and how we believe about ourselves. Now, swearing in the word takes, it means in some instances, taking the name of the Lord in vain. It also means making or taking promises or making oaths which you have no power to know whether you will be able to do it. Then also when it says swear not by heaven or by earth, that is, don't put anything in the realm of God's power, because only God can truly make an oath and that it will come to pass. When he was talking to Abraham, God made a covenant with Abraham, and we say with Abraham, and yet it was God that did it all by himself. And so he says in the book of Hebrews, when he can find no other, he swear unto himself. He made the promise to himself what he will do for Abraham, because if he had told Abraham, Abraham, if you do this, then I will do this, there is every possibility that Abraham might not keep the end of his bargain, and then God would not have been able to do what he promised him to do. So God usually makes unconditional promises to us. Therefore, we are not to swear by anything else in this earth. We are not to swear at all, because we don't have the power to carry it out, and that which we swear by does not have the power either. Neither we just swear by God's name, because we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain, as we will see, that vain swearing is specially forbidden in the law. The Bible tells us in Exodus that I will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. God of all things is tender to his name. It is holy, and every thought and mention of his name should be accompanied with reverence. Other sins are committed against God indirectly, while this one is directed towards him when we take his name in vain. Oh, listen, we know we're living in a world today, in a land where God's name has been taken in vain over and over and over by all types of people. It has become what people say, a euphemism, or sometimes, like when we speak, we say and ah. Some people use God's name in between there in a very vain manner, and sometimes a blasphemous manner. Dear friend, it is a habit that is not easily forsaken or broken once acquired. The Lord's name, be careful how you take that in vain, dear friend. God will not hold you guiltless concerning this matter. It is a great sin in regard to occasion. It comes without temptation, except when it is thought upon in wickedness and presumptuousness. But usually, swearing and taking God's name in vain and making oaths are some things that happen off the cuff. We don't plan on doing it, and that's why we need to be careful, because we fall into that particular sin very, very easily. The Lord Jesus talked to the Pharisees about that, and he talked to them about, be careful how you say things, be careful how you make your oaths, how you swear, and in whose name you do that. James exhorts, above all things, swear not. And so let us be careful and beware of the sins of rash swearing and every tendency to use the name of God in irreverently and irresponsibly and carnally, which are so usually executed in sudden outcries in different ways in our society today. Dear friend, James tells us, above all things, swear not. So let us be careful how we say things and why we say things, because he ends up by telling us this, lest we fall into condemnation. Don't do these things lest you fall into condemnation. The word condemnation there means judgment, that God will not hold you guiltless, that God will judge you because of that. If you are guilty of this, then you be careful. There are some things called euphemism or mince oaths that people use in the place of God's name that one has to be very careful, but we don't have time to deal with that today. But then James goes on and he gives us some exhortations as to some varying circumstances or conditions. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. He tells us there in verse 13. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly, and that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here we are with these exhortations to different circumstances in our life. First of all, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Here's the supposed condition. Afflicted. That the word there means to suffer evil, to be vexed, to be troubled, to be dejected. The suggested admonition is, let him pray. Not grumble, but let him pray. We tend to grumble and murmur when we are afflicted. That's the natural response of the human flesh. Let us learn that when we are afflicted, let us pray. Let us go to him who is able to help us. Then he says, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. The supposed condition is that if you are of a cheerful mind, if you are happy, of good cheer, of a cheerful spirit, the suggested admonition is, let him sing psalms. Oh, that is, let us sing songs unto the Lord, psalms that bring praise unto the Lord, and give Him thanks for His goodness towards us. Psalm 100 and many others talks about coming into His gates with thanksgiving, praising His name, and the wonderful things that we can say about God. If you're merry, then praise God. If you're afflicted, then you pray and ask God to help you and commit your way unto the Lord. There are different circumstances in our lives. Sometimes we are afflicted, sometimes we are merry. Dear friend, that's like the Christian life is like that. Life on the whole is like a wheel. Every spoke has its turn. For God hath in His ways of affections for every condition, grace for every affliction. Truly, the Christian is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth their fruit in their season. In affliction and misery, the duty is to pray. In prosperity and happiness, it is to praise the Lord. Prayer is always the best remedy for sorrows, and singing the best in time for cheerfulness. However, there's a time when things can be changed wrong, as we all know, that we can praise God in sorrow and we can pray in prosperity. Because sometimes when we praise God in sorrow, that helps lift our soul out of the dumps. And when we pray in prosperity, then we ask God for wisdom to help us. Because sometimes on the mountaintop is where we can easily fall. So we need to pray when there's prosperity. The third supposed condition is, and many are the interpretations of this, and we look at this next time, Lord willing. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. But today, dear friend, maybe you're going through afflictions of life. Then you go to the Lord in prayer. What a privilege we have to take it to the Lord in prayer. If you are happy, if everything seems to be well with your soul, then praise the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord and submit yourself to Him and commit all your ways to Him. Remember, He is the one is whose name we must trust in, not swear by, but the name that we must trust in. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. You can do that today, for the honor and glory of God and for your own spiritual good. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray that Thou would take these words and use it in the hearts of our hearers to bring to pass Your blessed will in their lives, regardless what their circumstances, whether merry or whether they're going through affliction. Bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dear listeners, if you need help concerning these matters, we would like you to write us and let us know of your needs so we can send you some literature. Or call us at 427-1054 so that we can talk to you. 427-1054. Or come visit us at one of our churches where we will be glad to take God's word and help you. Come and fellowship with us so we can meet you and help you. So we invite you to the Grace Bible Church in Wellhouse in Philip and the Grace Bible Church in Birds River Deacons Road, where services begin every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Then there's the Grace Bible Church in Paddock Road, Dalkeith, St. Michael, where services begin at 8:30 every Sunday morning. There's a Sunday school hour, and we have a class for everyone that takes place just after our morning worship service. So we would like to encourage you to send your children along or bring them, as we have a class for you as well. Then every Sunday night at 7:15, we have services every Sunday night, 7:15. There's a Berean Bible Baptist Church in Colleton, Six Men, St. Peter, where services begin at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning and 6:30 in the Sunday evening. We